All right. So I want to touch on. I don't even say I want to touch on it. We're gonna go over to James today. I have some specific things to share. James 1 verse 22. James 1 verse 22. 1 verse 22. Of course, it's on your sheet there. We'll see where this goes. I don't know. I mean, I think we're unhooking from the previous series, at least for the time here. And I don't know that this will be a series. I would just have some specific things, and I have this thing. This may segue into write some things I did have probably coming up to share. We'll just go with the flow here, but definitely have some specific things to share today. So James 1, verse 22. Everybody there? So this is something we quote a lot of times when we're praying for the service. Like you just heard, we say this, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this along this lines. Verse 22, James 1, 22 says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word but not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets the kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Let's look at it in the voice version on your sheet there. It says, put the word into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been deceived. If some fail to do what God requires, it's as if they forget the word as soon as they hear it. One minute they look in the mirror, and the next they forget who they are and what they look like. However, it is possible to open your eyes and take in the beautiful, perfect truth found in God's law of liberty and live by it. If you pursue that path and actually do what God has commanded, then you will avoid the many distractions that lead to an amnesia of all true things, and you will be blessed. Wow. Amen.
Amen.
So let's go back up to the New King James, and we're going to look at both of these here. But verse 22 in the New King James, it says, "But be doers of the word." Do the word. Be doers, not hearers only. Don't just hear it, but do it. Let's go ahead and read through it in the New King James there. Verse 23, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, but for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." So he sees himself. If you hear the word but don't actually do it, the Bible says it's like you looked in the mirror, checked yourself out, then forgot what you look like as soon as you walked away. Verse 25, "But he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it," notice that, continues in it, "and is not a forgetful hearer." So you saw what you're supposed to do, but then forget immediately when you walk away. That's not going to help you. In fact, it says you deceive yourselves earlier. If you do that, you're deceiving yourselves. It's not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. So let me ask you a question. Is it the doer or the hearer of the word that's blessed?
Doer.
Is it enough just to hear the word?
No.
See, people say, well, I know that. I've heard something, therefore I know that. Knowing something or hearing something is not the same as knowing it. When you hear something, just because you've heard something and you recognize it, that's not the same as knowing it. Somebody said it like this: you know what you do. Somebody said it, you know, just in the natural like this. There's what people say, there's what people do, and then there's what people say they do. Well, at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to get anything done is when you do. And we can fool each other to a degree, but this is a law of God. So if we think, well, I've heard this, it doesn't matter if you've heard the same thing for 25 years. Not going to do us any good unless we do it. And do you understand that can be the case? And now, don't let this be hard. This is just this is the law of God. We're going over this because sometimes we need a reminder. Oh, I do need to actually put that into practice for it to do me any good. It's easy, and I've seen this, been in this thing my whole life almost, and went through the teaching revival and the word revival in the 80s, into the 90s. We got back to the word and what it says and the knowing of God's word being the final authority and not our tradition. Well, so there's a lot of truth that has come forth and a lot of focus back on what does the word say. And, you know, we had tapes. Now, hardly anybody listens to tapes. I mean, I still have a tape player in my car. I have a CD player and a tape player. I haven't used that for quite a while, but I do have a lot of tapes, teaching tapes. I have CDs. I do listen to those quite a bit. I mean, that's the primary way I'll listen to them. But, you know, people will have tapes. You know, tape albums every meeting. I mean, you got these, how many of you? I mean, I know right now I do have in my basement a lot of these albums that'll hold 6 tapes a page, you know, and they're about this big. How many, but anybody else have any of those? You know, when Shelly traveled, and you know, she was in all the Holy Ghost meetings in the 90s, she bought the tapes for 2 weeks, morning and evening services, and we got those in a big box downstairs, all the Holy Ghost meetings, all the tapes, but they're tape form. Well, so a lot of people would have tapes, and they'd get a truth, and they have the tape, and then they heard it. Well, this is the tendency, though. You hear something taught, then later, 5, 10, 15, 20, I mean, that's been a long time now. And I don't have to stop in the 80s. I'm just telling you my experience. You can go back to the 70s, 60s. Of course, there was reel-to-reel, but then they started getting all this stuff, and you can get older stuff on the tapes. Now you can get all CDs. Now you can still get that stuff on MP3s. You know, recordings of Brother Hagin that are back from the 60s. Good stuff. But my point is, we could hear it, and then you heard something 30 years ago. And it's tempting to say when you hear it, well, I've heard that, or I heard that. Yeah, I heard that. Like it's something new, and somebody could be excited going, did you hear that? I mean, Jesus, he took my infirmities, he bore my sicknesses. That's a good example, because that was revelation at one point. Or I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. These were revelation. This was not commonly taught. I mean, I'm going back to where before my time, but, you know, by accounts, people in denominations, I mean, these things were not commonly taught. These things were, people were hearing it and go, wow, that's what the word says. And it's a revelation. Well, you fast forward to now, I mean, a lot of people that have been through stuff and even last several decades been through stuff, this can be the reaction. Somebody's excited about it, or you hear it, or you hear somebody say it again. Oh, I heard that. I heard that almost like a badge of honor. I heard that 30 years ago. Well, careful. That could not necessarily be a badge of honor. What have you been doing with it? If we say, oh, I heard that a long time ago, what ought to follow is, and it is awesome, and if you're excited and it's working, you will be just as excited now as when you heard it, because it's working, you're doing it, you're full of excitement about it. If the response would be, I heard that, that's a sure indication we've let something slip, and we're not doing it. But my point is, you probably all seen that. We've all been guilty of it ourselves. It's not the hearer that gets blessed. I wish it were. Because then we would just hook up like a lot of people have over the years and just hear. And if it's the more you hear, then you're more blessed. That's the way people act on this sometimes. They act like it's the more I can hear, the more messages I can hear, the more I'll be blessed. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches what we do. If we do the word, then we'll be blessed. Oh, there's so much here. I'm trying not to get ahead before we read some more of this. But it's the doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. It's not the hearer. Let me just go ahead and say that. I don't want to unhook and get in my head. You know, it's not, I'm going to say this, then this, and this. It's just as it's coming, I'm going to speak some of it out, because sometimes you mess yourself up like that. So I got to get back in that flow. But what I was going to say, with people, it's easy to think that it's the hearing of it. It's easy to fall into this trap. It's the hearing of it that gets it done. So the more I hear, the more I'm going to experience in my life. And I'm here to tell you, that's not true. In fact, you can only digest so much at one time and compare it to food, because the word, the Bible does say, compares itself to different types of food. Milk, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, but then there's strong meat. Well, how many of you know that there's only so much food you can digest at one time? And if you pull up to the buffet and there's all this food, I mean, I remember as a kid, we would go to these buffets once in a while on a Sunday. And as a kid, when we went to the buffet, you know, they have all the different types of things, and you can take what you want. And then they have these little desserts, which they're just are individual. You can go up there and get the plates. So you can go up there and you can get a little bit if they have pizza or they have steak or they got, you know, fried chicken. And then you have the desserts. I just have one of these and one of these. You don't just have to have one meal off the menu. You get to have it all. And now we go to Pennsylvania in August every year. Tell you what, they got some good food down there, over there. If you like that type of food, some people just don't like it. They think it's bland. You know, I was talking to one guy. We were out there, and he's like, "We don't like this food." They're from the South. They just think it's bland. I'm like, "Well, okay, I like it. I think it's awesome." But anyway, they have these buffets there, and they have these buses that pull up, because people, this is a tourist destination. So you got these people that pull up, and they got their destinations, these buffet places. How many of you know what I'm talking about? They pull up, and they, you know, people are paying all this money. I mean, it's not cheap. And they go in, and they'll just cycle them through like that, just ching. People eat and then they leave, but man, the spreads that some of these places have. And you go in there and you're hungry, you're like, oh, look at all this. I mean, this one place, it's got everything. I mean, it's got fried chicken, it's got fish, it's got ribs, it's got, you know, all these different desserts, all these salads. The thing is, you can only eat so much at one time. You know, like I was saying, when I was a kid, I'd go in there and you want this and this, and then you find out I'm filling up. It doesn't matter that I can have 15 things. I can only really fit a little bit of each one. And darn it, I'm full. I wish I could eat more. You got to watch it. You could get it to, you know, stuff in your face too much. But, you know, you want to be able to eat these different things and it all looks good. And you realize I'm limited by something here. I can only digest so much and I can only pack so much into my stomach to where I'm going to pay for this. You walk out of there and you can't move. It's not a good feeling, and I don't think that's the best place to be. And after, a few minutes and maybe hours afterwards, you're just like, oh my gosh, why did they do that? We've all done that, probably almost all of us. I know I have. So what's the deal? You can't. Just because you can stuff it in does not mean you can actually digest it. And this is the same way it is spiritually. You know, in this day and age, you and I have access to so much of the Word. I mean, we have how many translations or versions of the Word? You can get them online. You can get them in different formats. You can stream them. You can get it on hard media like a CD if you want. You can get it on a USB drive. You have Christian TV. The thing is, though, the principle is still the same. You and I can only digest so much. If it were just the hearing of it, we could just, put the earbuds on and just be listening to it all the time and be experience the blessing of it. I'm going to get some of this and I'm going to get some of this. Ooh, I haven't heard this. Just like on the buffet, I'm going to get it. I'm just going to pack it in. But that's like putting it all on the table. I can get it to the table, but now I got to get it through my system. And that's a different thing. And what a lot of Christians are stuck at, though, is I want to hear all this stuff. Ooh, and it's good. There's a hunger for the Word. That's a good thing. But this is the, and I see this as a pastor, seen it over the time, experienced it myself. Before I was ever a pastor, I came to the realization I can only digest so much. Additionally, if I put too many different things in there from too many different people, I will get confused. Did you know this? See, people will think, more is better. That's not true in life, and it's not true in the Word. You think, it's true you can't get enough of God. But getting enough of God is different than hearing all types of sermons and teachings and all that. You have to be led by the Spirit in this. Because at the end of the day, you would rather, or it would be better, I should say, to hear something and on one subject and actually get it down and digest it and be able to put it into practice than 50 things that you hear and can never do. How much good is it going to do you if you can't do it? The Bible says it's the doer that's blessed, not the hearer. Well, the Bible says that knowledge puffs up. You know what that means? It means it makes you arrogant. Well, I've heard that. It doesn't matter if you've heard it. What are you doing with it? Let me give you another example. There are people, and we were talking about this a little bit the other day. There are people that can tell you everything about a given sport. They could tell you all the players that have played for all these teams over the years, whether it's football, whether it's soccer, whatever. There's a big difference between being able to tell you all the things and talk about all the players. There's a difference between that and getting on the field and doing it at a professional level. Absolute huge difference, right? Forget the professional level, just get on the field and be able to do it at any level. Well, I you used to be able to do it. Now you're talking about what everybody else can do. That can do it now at a professional world-class level. See, talking about it and knowing a bunch of knowledge is not the same as being able to do it. But whether it's Christianity and spiritual things, or whether it's sports, we have, as humans, have a tendency just to want to talk about stuff and know stuff and be able to converse about it rather than just get in there and get the job done. Huh? Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right.
Me personally, I'd rather just have the practical solution. You figure it out. Tell me how it works. I'm an engineer. Engineers take existing technology and apply it and make something useful out of it. You know, I'm not a scientist going out and figuring out all the latest researcher. There are people like that. But I really like things pretty practical. I want to see it. I want to know how to do it. I want to apply it to my life. But when you come to biblical things, you can have all kinds of head knowledge and be able to quote all these things in the Bible and not do anything that actually helps us in life. Now, we want to be doers of the Word. And so we are saying there, it is so easy to get on and listen to so many things. And so I was going to say a couple things here. It's easy to listen to too much, and what that does is can just overload you. You can't digest any of it because you hear something, and God's speaking to you, but then you automatically, you go right, especially if you're doing this stuff in series, that you listen to something, then right away you listen to something else, you haven't digested the first thing. That's why I do not recommend, unless you do it like this, unless you fly over a series to listen to it and then come back, I do not recommend you go and sit down and listen to messages one after another, even if they're in the same series, even by the same person, because you cannot possibly digest all that. God will, if you listen to 45 minutes or an hour of a message, God will be speaking to you, showing you, directing you, and you need time to digest that and to translate it into how you're going to do it. If you automatically listen to another one right after it, it's going to displace something. Something's going to change. And so now it gets a little bit fuzzy, what you just heard in the last one. Now you listen to a third one, you don't hardly remember. I'm not saying it won't come back up, but you can't really process it. You really can't put it into practice. Just because we have access to all this information this day and age does not mean it's good to try to consume it all and that more is better. It takes discipline for us to focus on the right things, because your flesh, honestly, does just want to get the next thing. Why? Because you get it's nice just to get the new. But how many of you know, it's just in life, you don't always just get the new. If you just always bought stuff but never used the stuff that you had, that wouldn't be a very economical way to do it. If you always just, you didn't maintain anything, you didn't use anything, you just bought new stuff, that's not wisdom. Well, people will do that with the Word too. Want something new. Want something I haven't heard. Want something, just get another thing and another thing. Instead of digesting it, getting it through to where you're putting it into practice, and then getting some more. And getting some more. See, that doesn't do as much for the flesh, but oh, the results are so much better. The Bible says you'll be blessed as you do the Word. So, if you go back hundreds of years, or even when, you know, the early church, you know, they met frequently, but you even just look at the way God set it up originally with the Jewish people. He said six, and he said, and this is before, this predated the law, because God worked 6 days, and then he said he rested on the seventh. The Sabbath isn't a law thing. That predated, and it's before and it's after. But they came together to focus on the Lord once a week. That didn't mean that was the only interaction. but for sure that time. And you go back 200 years, you didn't have, I mean, you don't have to go back too far, but I'm just saying, just think about what it would have been in the 1700s. If you're getting together with the church local body, you're not going to do that. You number one, don't have any media to access other than live. Was no recorded anything. So you're going to hear a message, it's live. You don't go and listen to tapes in your car because, number one, you don't have a car. There aren't any tapes. They ain't recorded anything. You hear it. If you have the Bible, that wasn't as widespread. But you're going to hear something, and the idea is you're going to hear it, digest it. Yes, you have your devotions. You're spending time on a personal level with God, but you're not getting all these sources all the time. Today, there are not unlimited, but, you know, practically speaking, you can hear so many things from so many different sources. And it takes a discipline not to do that. If you just let your flesh go, you'll be going like this and doing everything, but nothing is really filtering down to where it's digested. And I'll say this, I think we'll read some more, but you got to be careful because you can get confused very easy. Not that different people are necessarily wrong, but you and I need to get hooked up with the ministries and the places that God has hooked us up with. You try to follow more than two to tops three people, you will likely get confused. Because people, they're looking, they're focusing on the truth of the Word, but they're coming at it from a different way. And there's different thrusts in different ministries. And if you're hearing one that's going this way, and then you're hearing another, and you're listening to them constantly, you're not going to be as stable as you ought to be. And people think, well, Christian TV is, I just listen to all this, or I can go on this website and just listen to all these people, and I can listen to all these people, and isn't it just great we can have all this Word? No. No. It's good that it's available, but we have to be disciplined in how we digest it, because it's the same thing as the buffet. You try to throw all this at your system all the time, you're not going to be strong and stable and be able to digest it all the way through to where what? What are we after? Hearing or doing?
Doing.
Doing. But if you can get a hold of something and focus on it and hear it and hear it and hear it and meditate on it, the same type of thing, you can. It's going to make it easier for you to do it. You're going to have to act. You're going to have to yield to God. But you try to listen to a bunch of stuff all the time and think, oh, I'm just full of the Word. Well, you're full of something. Don't mean that. I didn't say anything. You guys fill in the blank. But I'm saying you're full of stuff. But the Word can get lost. Did you hear me? You're full, but it's not necessarily the stuff that you're not full spiritual, you're just full. You can't process everything at once. And it's not, how will you know if you're full of the Word, you're going to act on it? If it doesn't translate into action, what happens if you're just full of food but don't ever use the calories that you got with the food? What happens? Come on, what happens? Where do the excess calories go? They start adding to your being because what? You're not utilizing them. That's not just naturally speaking, we know. If all you do is consume, but you don't use, you don't exercise, It's not a good condition, right? It's the same spiritually. If all we do is we're just doing this, but I don't use, you know, you learn so much by doing. You could have read about riding a bike all the time, but until you get on that two-wheeler and do it, it's different doing it. There are some things you can only learn by doing. And people think they've heard, and they think they know what they do. And what do we say? Knowledge, it puffs up. When we just have head knowledge, it makes you arrogant. It can. People think, I know. And they're looking at somebody that's doing. Well, I know more than that. Well, you better watch it. Somebody's doing, and you quote-unquote know. When you actually try to do, you may find out it's not the way you think, and you fall flat on your face. Well, we want to be doers. I saw this example of this. Maybe some of you have seen it. I don't know how widespread it was. But this guy, they were talking about riding a bike. And it's incredibly complex what the body's doing to ride a bike. All the balance and the counterbalance and what your body learns to do. And I can't remember exactly how this came on, but somehow this guy got the idea, or somebody challenged him, or somehow, I think it was that there was a bike there and they put on the handlebars backwards, and the idea was, this can't be that hard. If you just flipped it, basically turned the handlebars around. So if you have the front wheel like this and you turn it all the way around, so now if you turn, they switch the gear. So if you turn right, the wheel actually turned left. And if you turned left, the wheel actually turned right. They just put an extra gear in there. And they thought originally, this can't be that hard. I will think it, and I just tell myself, it's backwards. And I'll get that down, and I'll be able to do it. This guy could not do it for anything. There's a video on it. I mean, if you Google, I don't know what you'd Google. But for a while, you get up, and you're thinking, this is easy. All I got to do is think, when I turn right, it'll actually go left. So I just was going to switch my bike. But what would happen, he would go like a foot and just fall down. And over. Could not. It took him 8 months of really working on it before he could ride it backwards. He had to basically unlearn what he had learned before. And then guess what happened when he tried to go back and do a normal bike? Could not do it. He could not do it. And then you know what he did? He went over and took it. He was in overseas and he had the bike. And he was trying to ride the bike and could not do it. And people were looking at him like, you fool, you can't do it. And I can't remember if, I know he was trying to do it over there, but I think they had that other bike too. People could not do it for anything. So what's the point? You think something, because the whole thing was it's not just about you thinking when you turn right, it's going to go left. It's that what you're actually doing when you're turning, your body is adjusting and it's counterbalancing and it's taking all these things that you don't realize is going on. When you think about riding a bike, you are actually going through all these physical and calculations and everything to offset the weight and everything. And so it's not just, I turn this. You would turn this, but the rest of your body is doing what it always does, and it would just fall down within like a few feet. You could not just do it up here. And so once he gutted that and learned it all backwards, it was not a simple switch. And then he, after a little while, he would try it, and then it clicked into where he clicked back into that other mode and he could ride the other bike, but it wasn't automatic. And then he could do it. What's the point? Doing can be a lot different than quote-unquote knowing and hearing. So you say, well, I just know this. I've heard this word. But have we put it into practice? Because what putting it into practice, doing it, that's how we're going to be blessed. It's not just hearing it. Because if you would have told this guy, explain the concept, which they did, and you say, how hard is it going to be? That's easy. So how do you learn these things? We have the one scripture, but just really, I guess, flying over some of this stuff. So we have more scriptures here, but anyway, we'll cover this right now, and then we'll see where we go. You can only digest so much, like we said, and you learn a lot by doing. Let's look at this other verse here. Praise God.
Amen.
Look at James 1:22 in the Voice. Now, said this before, you have these different, they call them translations, but they're really just versions, they're paraphrases. You don't build doctrine on them, but when it makes something clearly that you can see in the ones, the versions that are more word for word, like the New King James is that, then it can bring clarity. It can bring it in a closer way of speaking that more like what we speak now. It can help you, but you don't want to build doctrine and say, well, it said this in this one this one version, and so that carries just as much weight as, you know, any version of the Bible. But don't do that. Don't look for a phrase in a certain version and try to build a doctrine on it. That's the wrong way to go. They can bring clarity to us, but you don't go off and say, well, it said this in this version. I like this version, because then you find out, oh, it doesn't actually say that in the real text. And then some people will get defensive and be like, no, but I like it this way. Well, that's where we get into error. Verse 22, put the word what?
Into action.
If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been deceived. If we think, nah, it's just how much I know. I'm just gonna hear it. I'm gonna buy the whole library, and I'm gonna listen to all of them, and then I'm gonna have it together. Should I say that? Praise God. Yeah, I'll say it. You take this away. So, if hearing were all it was, then the more the better, right? If it were just hearing. But it's not. It's what you do. And, you know, this has always been through the 80s, through the 90s, now. But people will say, whether it's I'm going to get the whole library, people will say this, I'm going to go to Bible school because I really want to get this down. I want to really learn the word. Well, depends on why you're going to Bible school. Because if that's God's will for you to do, but at the end of the day, what's the reason you would go to Bible school? To actually do something with what you learned. It's the same thing. You see this in academia. You have people that just go get a degree and then just get another degree. And then they get another degree. And then they get another degree. But they don't ever really go do anything with it. That doesn't help anybody. I mean, fine, if you're a career student, okay. At the end of the day, we want to do something. So people will say, well, I want to go and I just want to saturate myself with the word. Well, number one, I would say, what's God's will for you? Is that the right step? You don't do it intellectually. Like, well, I'm going to go to Bible. I need to. I just need more of the word. Okay, everybody does. But it's not just more of the word. It's actually getting you to digest the word, right? Maybe like say, I just need more food. I want to have a strong body. I want to be a bodybuilder. I just need more food. No, you need the right food, and then you need to exercise the right way in order to build muscle or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. It's not just about the food. Food's very important when you're dealing with that. The right food's very important, but you don't just throw a bunch of food. Food, food, food. So people say, I've seen this, doesn't matter what the school is, doesn't matter what the time frame is, you'll have somebody that went to such and such a school. I'm not, hear my heart, I'm not trying to be negative, I've seen this over time, decades ago. And it doesn't change. But you have somebody that's gone and gotten some knowledge. They graduated from so-and-so a school. And they're not really doing anything with it. But they did, but they went to school. They want you to know that they're a graduate. But they're not doing anything with it. And there are some people that never went to school and just took something that they learned and are putting it into practice and are far past where the person that went to Bible school is. What's my point there? We need to be led by God in what we need and how we're developed. Don't think more is better and you just need to go get this education and somehow that's going to turn you in and that's the key you need to set everything right in your life. I mean, I don't know why we're saying it, but like, you know, I checked before I wanted to say it. Whatever, people would think, if I go to Bible school, let's say, they think their problems will go away. Like if they were having marital problems before they went to Bible school, somehow just getting in that environment will cure them. And they're just going to bask in that environment. They'll be okay. No. You will just be at Bible school with your problems. And if you thought you had problems before you went, now you're in where the word is there and you're trying to get trained for ministry, you don't think there'll be opposition there? Are you kidding me? You don't think there'll be temptation there? People go to Bible school and they decide, well, they see all these other people, the opposite gender, and they think, the devil's not stupid. Then they start having thoughts like, oh, I should have married somebody like this person. And at Bible school, they're thinking they need to, that they should trade up spouses. You laugh, but it's the truth. Well, you brought stuff in. They're getting the word 3 or 4 hours a day. But guess what? That's imparted into you to, yes, it's a well. You're not supposed to digest all that all at once. It's a well that you're going to be drawn out of. And I have drawn out of that well for years. But the way you get built up spiritually is not through a school. Did you hear me? That is for you to minister to other people. You getting built up, I'm not saying it can't be used and you can't be helped, but you know what would happen? People would go to like Rhema and they stop doing their devotions and anything because they're getting enough of the word that they kind of float by, but they don't understand. They're just coasting and they don't go to church or whatever. And they come out and they just do a dive. You are going to stay spiritually built up by your personal devotions and hooking up with the church. A Bible school and studying like that and listening to a bunch of messages, Christian TV, listening to stuff off the internet is not going to take the place of being in this environment, getting what you need right now to digest, to actually put into your life and do it in the week, and then come back and get more. You can't substitute that by doing like an a la carte thing. I won't do it. I'll just go and get all these subjects. You might get head knowledge, but you won't get the doing of it for personal life. There is an aspect where training for ministry is one thing. You go and you get this knowledge that's going to help you to be a minister or to do something, but it is not. One of my teachers said about Rhema, actually it was Dean Crowell, the one that came back in April, and that, the Crowells will be here with this. He said, this is not a rehabilitation center. It's a training center. Anyone trying to be mean? I'm not saying you have to have all your ducks in a row before you go. God knows that, where you are. But you got to be led by Him. And what I'll see is that people say, well, I got more. I need more of the Word. And they come to the conclusion, I need to go to Bible school. And God's not telling them to go to Bible school. And you know what? That doesn't help anything. Because all you're going to get is all this stuff. And what they think is more is better. I'll get more, and somehow that'll translate to me doing it in my life. You know what? The translation mechanism and you putting it into practice does not change. You can only digest so much. You can only do so much. So you need to go where God would have you to go with the right mentality, and know, though, that the more, you can be getting 4 hours of teaching, you can't possibly digest all that. You better be taking notes so that you can put it somewhere where you can draw in the future, and the Holy Spirit will make deposits in you that you can pull from in the future. But if we think, I'll just cram, that doesn't work in the natural. It does not work in the spiritual. We can't cram. And we think, all the now, I'll just get all this in me. I'll just stuff it all in me. And then if I get enough in me, it'll automatically make my life better. If my spouse and I get in there into sitting in those classes, we'll sit there, we'll be saturated by the Word. And then we'll just walk out and we'll just be able to have a great relationship. No. You're still going to have to put the Word and love the person and do the Word. Do the Word. We're still going to have to do it. It's not going to magically happen. The Word is not magic. Now, you will, as you listen to the Word and put it in and attempt to do it, you will be able, you will digest, and the Word, God will change things in you, but it is being obedient to Him. It is listening to Him and being obedient. You can only do so, you can only put into practice so much. So as you're, it's meant that you get some Word and then you put it into practice. And then you get some more. And then you put it into practice. And then you get some more. And then you put it into practice. What's happening then? You're going up. You may see, from where you are, you may not even see hardly that my hand is going up, but it is. And every layer under it is solid. Why? Because it's being tested as we go. It's getting solid. Where somebody goes, oh my gosh, I learned all this and I just feel like it's great. And then they, and then they go, wow, I pull myself up and I'm just going to pack it. I'm just going to get so full of the Word. And then they just go to real life and they, that's not God's will for us. His will is for us just to ingest. See, that's not as shiny. Just getting in there and doing, getting her done and doing the work. I'm not talking about working just to work. I'm saying you are more solid now than you were a year ago. And when you see the solid, it's like you're not going back. You're not just on an emotional high. You're not just like, oh, Jesus did this. And then, oh, I can't. I don't know. Where's God? And, oh, Jesus. Oh, where'd God go? It's like you start learning. You get a solidity where you are doing. You see the result. Where you start seeing the Word works. And you see you're blessed. Nobody can talk you out of it. It's not something you heard. It's not that you heard it from 15 people. You heard it. It became the Word of God to you. You did it. You were blessed. And now you have a testimony. Now you are the person that are talking. You talk to other people. Well, this is how the Word of God works. You give glory to God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Jeez. Hallelujah. There's so much here. Covered these scriptures, two different versions of the same scripture. I'm just trying to gauge what to get out, what to read. Hallelujah. That's why we pray. Well, that's why we pray, to try to, we need to get out what we need to get out. Amen. I do my best. Hallelujah. But God is so good. Let's just read this and we'll close. It says, put the word into action. If you think hearing is what matters most, you are going to find you have been deceived. If some fail to do what God requires, it's as if they forget the word as soon as they hear it. One minute they look in the mirror, and the next they forget who they are and what they look like. However, it is possible to open your eyes and take in the beautiful, perfect truth in God's law of liberty and what? Live by it. Live by it. Live by it. It's not just in church. This is living. This is you believe what we're talking about. This isn't a club. This isn't, you know, just... This is, we're cheerleaders for this type of doctrine. This is what the Word of God says. This is our understanding of it to our best of our ability. We do it. We do it here. We do it in our home. We do it at work. We do it at school. We talking about being perfect? No, but we're talking about something real and tangible. You don't get that just by cramming things. You need to be able to put it through your system and actually make it work in life. It says, if you pursue that path and actually do what God has commanded. I like the way that actually do it. You know, we can actually do it. Then you will avoid avoid the many distractions that lead to amnesia of all true things, and you will be blessed. See, when you do it, there's something about doing it that makes it hard to forget. Yes. Makes it hard for you to get pushed off. Makes it hard when you're hearing the word and you're putting to practice, you're rubbing shoulders with men and women in church, and yeah, some sparks may fly sometimes, but you're getting involved and you're having to put it into practice. You know, with toddlers or children's or youth or ushering, and you are, that's a training ground. You start putting the word in practice at work, and you start, it gets solid. It's like we talked about riding a bike. Everybody in here, if you've ridden a bike before, if we put you on a bike, you could ride the thing. You would know how, because it got so ingrained if you did it. It was not book knowledge. It was getting on the bike and falling down and putting a Band-Aid on your knee and going back on the bike. Huh?
Yep.
And it put it into you such that it's hard for you to forget. You can't forget. But when you're just cramming all this stuff, what you heard last week is different than what you hear this week. And I don't know up from down. And 3 years from now, you don't remember any of it. But when you put things in solid and it's there and it's day in and day out, you see God work and you see the word and you say, well, I'm going to do that, and you see it come through, there becomes this solid part of you. And you start to see that the word is true and you start to see the blessing. Why? Because it's the doer that's blessed. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. And I say this, He will give you the help and the grace to do it if you allow Him to. Okay? Don't walk away and say, oh, I've been trying. I just can't. No, sometimes it's just getting rid of some of the noise, focusing and saying, Lord, instead of trying to work on 15 things at once, and dropping them all, Lord, what would you have me to focus on? I'm going to do that. I'm going to let you speak to me. I'm going to do it by your grace. I will do what you have called me to do. Here, I'll help you change me. I'll let you change me. I'll cooperate with you because it's not all him. I'll do it by your help, and I'll see the change, but you see actual progress. And then progress. In progress, we're not talking about you taking the bull by the horns, you're just going to do it and work. No, we're saying you yield to him, you say, I'll do it, and Lord, you help me do it, but you're focusing, you're allowing him to direct you and guide you and help you and to do it, not trying to just shotgun it. Amen. Lord, we just thank you so much.